Welcome to BC, folks. This is what we do for church, man. This is serious stuff. Serious deal. We come in to worship Him and to honor Him and to glorify Him and to thank Him and to praise Him and to recognize that He is God and we are not, and to recognize that He is the King and we are not, and to understand that He is the creator of the universe and He doesn't need us, He wants us. And that is absolutely mind-blowing to those who understand the power and the authority of God. Incredible. Incredible, folks. Man, if this is your first time to Believers Chapel, we are pumped that you are here this morning. Thank you for being here. I know it's packed. Again, please, please, next week. Man, if you are free Saturday night, come on Saturday night. If you got time to get up early and clean your eyes and say, I'm going to church early, please come 9 o'clock and make some room for the 11 o'clock because it's just going to be packed next week. Please don't shy away from not coming next week because it's packed. I tell you, I've spoken to Wes, and he is going to bring a word next week that is going to change lives. Folks, we believe in this church. We are not here to check a box in this church. We're not here just to check a box. I did my weekend thing. I'm clear. I'm good. No, we are here to encounter the living God. We're here to come in and honor Him and worship Him and praise Him and thank Him. And we're here to look into this and say, God, this is Your Word. This is alive and powerful. And God, You can speak to me today by Your Word. And God, that I would walk out of this place different, changed, not the same as when I came in this place. That's a power when you come under the authority of God, the Word of God, come into an encountering a living God, the one true God, to leave this place different and changed, knowing that God directly spoke into your heart. Folks, I do not know the condition of your world. I do not know the condition of your heart. God knows the condition of your heart. And you being here this morning, God has the ability to speak directly to you. Father, we thank You for this morning. We ask that You would just guide and direct us today as we just begin to dig into Your Word. God, we come before You hungry, God. Father, we come before You hungry for Your Word. God, that You would speak to us. God, we're asking that our ears would be open to hear what You would have to say. And God, open the eyes that we would see exactly what You would have us to see this morning. And God, that our hearts, we come before You starving for You, God. Speak to us today. God, we're hungry for truth. God, we're hungry for what You said, God. Speak to us this morning. Folks, I ask that You would ask God, God, speak to me. God, open my eyes, open my ears to hear from You. God, open my heart that it would just, man, I would receive this morning. Speak to me this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. For those of us who are getting in the water, and for those of you who are being baptized, enjoy the heat while it's warm in here. Enjoy that for now. Because that water is going to be cool. We're going to break the ice, and we're going in, man. Because we're warriors, bro. That's what we do. We're warriors. We're going after it. It was funny, Pastor Dan was saying, man, listen, I got long sleeve shirt. And I'm thinking, okay, we're baptizing some younger kids and some students and some older folks. And if Dan would have come in a wetsuit, could you imagine? Dan, take that off, man. There's kids. You're embarrassing yourself, Dan. There's kids being, man, they're handling it, man. They got it going on. But we are so pumped and so ready for this day. Come on, let's preach. Folks, we're in a series called The Walk and What It Takes. You can go to Living Out Truth, catch up on all the messages. They're all videoed. It's powerful stuff. But today's about worship. We are a worship and word church. And when you begin to recognize this powerful word called worship and what it is and the authority of what it really means to worship, what it really biblically means, what God means to worship Him, what God desires in our worship, what it means when our eyes are open to recognize exactly who God is, exactly what His authority is, and understand God with our little minds. Listen, the Bible says to truly understand God, not going to happen. To recognize God as the Creator and how that took place in 6 days, not going to fathom that. The Bible says that we cannot fathom the greatness and the authority and the power of God. And the little bit that we do know, it should cause us to the ground and cause us to worship Him and to give Him reverence and recognize who God is, that which we see God according to His Word. But His Word tells us that our understanding we can't touch. We can't have a smidge to really understand the power and the authority of the great I Am. Come on, two places this morning, John 9 and Psalm 96. Please turn to Psalm 96, put a marker. Psalm 96, put a marker, and then flip over John 9, and we're going to start in John 9. And you're going to see some things this morning, folks, about worship. And you're going to see a young man who went through some things that I only know a chosen few people that have walked in his shoes. The majority of man does not walk in his shoes, but there are a few that walk in this man's shoes and can recognize and identify with what he went through. We can't, when we get into this, you and I can't fathom what this gentleman went through. You and I just don't recognize, we can't understand what one who has something, a physical ailment that they would go through that we don't go through. It's just hard to understand, but we look at this. We're going to talk about a blind man who was born from birth. And we're going to recognize his life and what he went through and the different struggles and the different dealings that were poured on him because of this blindness. And we're going to see this man who had a season. It might have been one day, 2 days, 3 days, a week. We don't know how long it was. But there was a season this man went through, a crazy, amazing, unbelievable, emotional, up and down roller coaster. We're going to look at this thing. Come on, verse 1. And as he passed by, that's Jesus, he saw a blind man from birth. And his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he would be born blind? You see, it was false theology. It was wrong theology, wrong teaching, that they would say, if you were born blind, you are cursed. Somewhere along your bloodline, somebody sinned, and you're the result of that sin. Wouldn't that be awful? That all of your life you're looked at as a curse, possibly to the family, a curse to all those who walk by and recognize, you're blind. Look at you, you sinner. Look what you've done. Somewhere along the line, man, I wonder what he did to cause that. I wonder what his parents did to cause that. I wonder what so-and-so did to cause your curse and your blinding as they walk by him, as he begs and he's jiggling his little cans because he's blind, and that's his life of darkness from sight. That people walk by, they spit on him, they call him cursed. Someone in your bloodline sinned, ha, and you're the result. Wouldn't that be awful? And then Jesus shows up, and Jesus answered, verse 3, and it was neither that this man sinned nor his parents, but it was so that the works of God might be, look at this, it was so that, there's a reason for this, that the works of God might be displayed in him. And then he does this amazing, and the blind man's there, and Jesus is talking to his disciples. The blind man is listening, he overhears this, and Jesus comes, and he says this, well, I am in the world, Jesus, I'm the light to the world. Could you imagine this blind man, that he was blind from birth, and all he sees is darkness. All he has is this curse. All he's been called is a sinner. He's been disowned, isolated, shunned, jiggles his little can because he's a beggar. Maybe some people spit in the can. Maybe some people spit on him. Maybe some people throw a coin in there, but they look at him as cursed. And Jesus shows up in his darkness and says, I'm the light to the world. Could you imagine that resonating in this man? There's this man, there's this voice, and there's this person before me, and he declares that he's the light to the world. And then all of a sudden, he hears, Jesus, prepare to spit. Because the Bible says he spat in the ground and he began to make clay. And you could imagine this blind man where Jesus says, I'm the light to the world. And all of a sudden, he, and I'm sure the blind man's going, oh, I've been spit on before. What is? And then Jesus makes mud. And you can picture, I can just picture this where Jesus is right before him. Jesus gets this spit and this mud and he wipes it on his face. And he wipes it on his eyes, folks. And this blind man is just, I am the light of the world. This is what this man said. He's the light to the world. And I have lived in darkness. And he's the light to the world. And he's rubbing this spit mud on his eyes. Then he hears these words, go. Go to the pool of Siloam and wash and bathe. And you'll receive your sight. You can imagine someone's taking him by the arm to get him to that pool. Folks, at this point, he's never seen the healer. He's never seen the one who spit on the ground. All he just knows his voice. That's the voice that said, go wash, and then he comes back. It's amazing, folks. You could imagine that he goes, he obeys, he listens. He washes his eyes. And then he said, could you imagine that moment by the pool? Could you imagine when he's washing his eyes, all of a sudden he sees water for the very first time. He sees water dripping off his fingers and he sees it splashing in the water. You could imagine him just having a blast. The first time. You ever see a baby? First time they play in water? It's like amazing, right? Well, here's this adult, first time ever been able to play in water and see the splashing and see the water. And he's just, could you imagine? He's looking up and seeing the sky. He's looking up and seeing people's faces that he knows and recognizes their voice. You can imagine that he runs home. For the first time, identifies his mom's face. For the first time, identifies his father and sees who they are and recognizes the voice matches this face. And you could imagine that all the envisionment. Yes, he could feel her face and try to get a point. But now he puts that. He says, that's my mom. And that's my father. That's my dad. You could imagine his just excitement. He comes back with sight. And his first encounter is with the neighbors. Verse 8. Therefore the neighbors and those who previously saw him as a beggar. You're a beggar. That's all they saw him as, was a beggar. You're that one by the temple. You jiggle. You're that one that's cursed. And they looked at him and they saw him as a beggar. And they were saying, is not this the one who used to sit and beg? Others were saying, well, this is he. Still others were saying, no, but he's like him. Could you imagine this conversation going on right in front of him? That was me. Look, he makes comment on it. Look what he says. This is amazing. He kept saying, I am the one. That was me. How do you not recognize me? You walk by me every day to the temple. You put your change. You were the one spitting on me. I was that small in your eyes that you can't even look me in the... You don't even recognize that it was me day after day after day as you walk by me. And you can look at me now and you can't recognize me. That's who I was to you. Amazing. It's me. I can see. I no longer have to beg. I no longer have to be shunned. I'm no longer under a curse. It wasn't sin. Jesus healed me. Look at this. This is amazing. They begin to interrogate him, folks. How then were your eyes open? And he answered, the man who was called Jesus. He declares that it was Christ. The man who was called Jesus made clay, anointed my eyes, and said to me, go to Siloam and wash. So I went and I washed and I received sight. And they said to him, well, where is he? I do not know. Folks, he's never yet seen Jesus. Jesus rubbed the mud on and told him to leave. So he left. He's not seen Jesus yet. And they brought the Pharisees to the man who was formerly blind. Now it was the Sabbath on the day that Jesus made the clay and opened the eyes. And then the Pharisees also were asking him again, how did you receive sight? And he said to them, he applied clay to my eyes, and I washed, and I see. Verse 16, therefore some of the Pharisees were saying, this man is not from God, meaning Jesus, because he does not keep the Sabbath. This man cannot be from God. He broke our rules. He's the one who took our rules, and we make up all these rules for the Sabbath. There's no way that he can be from God because he broke our rules. I start looking at this. Isn't it amazing, folks, that the Pharisees never once recognized the blind eye open. Never once did they acknowledge how awesome this work was, how incredible this work was, how amazing this work was. They were looking to come to a place to cause Jesus. They hated Jesus. They hated Christ. And they were looking for an accusation against Christ because he broke their rules on the Sabbath. Would you understand this? Look, they recognize, they don't even acknowledge that this man is seen. They don't celebrate with this man that he now has sight. They're looking to catch Jesus on a technicality. They're looking to catch Jesus because he stepped out of bounds. They're looking to catch Jesus because he committed a foul in their world. Could you imagine this blind man going, are you kidding me? I now see. And you want to catch Jesus on a technicality? On one of your fouls? Remember, they said, this man is not from God. And then look at this. This is great. You start seeing him rise up. So then they said to the blind man, what do you say about him since he opened your eyes? And he said, he is a prophet. You know what he's saying? In their world, prophet was a man from God. So he's saying, you're saying he's not from God. I'm telling you he was from God. That's what he says. You're saying that he's not from me. There's no way he could be from God. And you ask me a question, I'm telling you directly that he is absolutely from God. Then you could just see their temperature begin to rise. Then the Jews did not believe it of him. Again, they don't even acknowledge this. They're trying to totally discredit that the blind man sees. And they're just trying to catch Jesus on a technicality. So this is what they involved the parents. They call the parents in. 19, they begin to question the parents. Is this your son who you say was born blind? And how does he now see? How does he now see? They're not even acknowledging the sight. They want to catch Jesus. So all they want to do is catch Jesus. Then you should see this young man. Now parents are involved. Still not one person has celebrated his sight. Here he is in a place that he has never been before. Neighbors question him. Pharisees, the religious leaders, these were the ones who respected. These were the ones who taught Scripture. These are the ones who were involved in politics. These are the ones who people looked to. These were the ones that people had an honor for. And they're interrogating him. And then they bring in his parents. And his parents say this, it's amazing. Yes, he's my son. And yes, he was born blind. And then they fumble. But we don't know how he regained his sight. Folks, the next part tells us they knew very well who healed his eyes. I could imagine the son running home and into his home. And just so pumped that this man named Jesus. I haven't seen him yet, but I know his voice. Mom, it was Jesus. Mom, you know you've heard of Jesus. It was him. It was the healer. It was the one that you've heard of from walking the streets. It's the one you've heard of that's done miracle after miracle. Mom, you know you've heard of Jesus. He's the one. I don't even know what he looks like, Mom, but it was Jesus. Dad, it was Jesus. You know, Dad, you've heard the men talking. You know the deal about Jesus. You know that he's a miracle worker. You know on all the works that he's done. People are just bragging about Jesus. Yeah, he's the one with the large crowd. I didn't even go to him. He came to me. It was Jesus, and I know his voice. So you could imagine. When the Pharisees ask his parents, and he's there. We don't know who healed him. Could you imagine the rejection in that man's heart right then? Even my own parents can't celebrate. Look at this. Verse 22, and his parents said this because they were afraid. They were afraid of the Jews or the Pharisees, for the Jews had already agreed that if anyone confessed Jesus to be the Christ, then they were to be put out of the synagogue. If they would have said it was Jesus, then they would have took the hit and they would have been excommunicated and then they would have been cursed and then they would have had to live in isolation and then they would have been shamed and they would have no longer been allowed to associate with anyone of the church. That was the condition. That was the condition that these ridiculous upper-ups put. If anyone claims Christ, then you are shunned and you are cursed and you are excommunicated and you are isolated. And they chose to walk in the church compared to stand with their son and say it was Jesus. What do you think that did to the son? 24, verse 24. And the parents put it on him. You listen, go ask him. He's of age. And a second time they called the man who was blind and said to him, give glory to God, for we know that this man is a sinner. We know that the one you're declaring is Jesus, he's got to be a sinner. He broke all rules on the Sabbath. He does things that are against what we say is okay. He's got to be a sinner. We know that he's not from God. Look at this. Look at what they say. We know. We have absolute proof because we know that he's a sinner. The arrogance of these people. Dang, you got to recognize the position that this man is in. He is facing some arrogant, prideful, deceiving people who are hypocrites. Listen, you got to understand, Matthew 15, Jesus looked at him and said, you're hypocrites. They hated that. And then his disciples come up and say, you know, Jesus, you call them hypocrites, and that offended them. Oh, and then Jesus just shreds them, man. Jesus just shreds them. He says, oh, really? Well, this is the deal. They're blind guides leading the blind. He calls the Pharisees hypocrites and blind. They are blind guides leading the blind. And when the blind lead the blind, they both fall into a pit. That's what Jesus said about him. You think he gave a rip about offending the Pharisees? Then that just opened the door and opened the spout for more. Well, they're blind, and they're blind guides, and they're leading the blind. And when the blind lead the blind, they all fall into a pit. Jesus makes it clear. They had no clue. Their eyes of their heart were blind to the reality of who Jesus was. And here this blind man from birth, this blind man who's been cursed, this blind man who's lived in darkness, his spiritual eyes are beginning to be awakened to exactly who Jesus is. And the Pharisees were ticked, and they weren't liking this. And then he answered them, whether he is a sinner, I do not know. Look at this. The one thing I do know is that I was blind and now I see. The one thing that I do know, I don't know his spiritual state. I don't know if he's a sinner or not. That's what I don't know. What I do know, what you haven't even acknowledged yet, that I was blind. What you had to do an investigation to actually see if it was really me. Well, you had to have the neighbors come against me. My parents have rejected me. You have interrogated me. You know what? The one thing I know is I was blind and now I see. And I know that it was Jesus. That's what I know, he says. And you can just see these Pharisees just blood boiling, man. They start getting hot. And this is what he says. This is awesome. You want to talk about fire with gasoline? This is great. So they said to him, what did he do to you? Again, the third time they ask him. And how did he open your eyes? And he answered them, I told you already, and you did not listen. He's speaking to the upper ups, folks. He's speaking to the authority. He's speaking, you could imagine the crowd going, what is he thinking? I mean, seriously, I mean, he's fed up with this. I told you already, you did not listen. Why? This is great. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you not want to become his disciples do? He says, what, you want to hear something that you want to follow him? Oh, talk about blood boil, right? They lose their lid, man. Faces split and they're angry. They're beginning to lose it. And he knows, ooh, I got him right here. This is great. And he just keeps digging, right? And then the Bible says in verse 28 that they reviled him and they slandered him. They took him out. This is what they're saying. They slandered him. They reviled him. They came against him. You are his disciple, but we're disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but for this man, they couldn't even acknowledge him as Jesus. This man, we do not know where he is from. Oh, again, my blind friend here who now sees. Oh, he goes right after the juggler in this one. Look at this. This is great. And then the man answered and said to them, well, here's an amazing thing. You religious leaders, here's an amazing thing. You teachers of the Old Testament. You teachers of the Messiah is going to come. You teachers of that he's going to be born of Virgin Mary. You teachers who know the first five books of the Bible inside and out, backwards, forwards, you have them memorized. It's an amazing thing, he says. Get this, religious leaders. Wow, how incredible. That it's an amazing thing that you don't know where he is from. And yet he opened my eyes. Because he knew the only way for the first time in history that one who has been blind from birth, it had to be from God. He's saying, it's amazing, Pharisees, that you're so blind to this. And yet you teach this. Oh, boy, they're boiling. And then look at this. You have this young man who has gone from blind, darkness, cursed, spit on, walked in darkness all of his life. Jesus shows up. Eyes are open. Rejected, unknown by the neighbors, rejected by his parents, interrogated by the Pharisees. And they answered him, you were born entirely in sins. Who the heck are you to talk to us like this? Who do you think you are to talk to us this way? You're the one who was cursed. You're the one who was born entirely in sin. This is total blindness was your deal. You're the one who's cursed. You're the one who has sin. Who do you think you are to talk to us? And then they say this. Then they put him out. They excommunicated him. He went from a place of being excommunicated, a place to being healed, a place to then being rejected, a place then to be unknown, a place then to be interrogated, just to find himself right back into a place of being cursed. And excommunicated and isolated. Now even with sight, excommunicated. With sight, isolated. A sight cursed because the upper ups put him out. Could you imagine that roller coaster right there, folks? He went from the lowest to the highest to interrogation, rejected by his parents, to back to a place of darkness and isolation. But yet now he can see. This is great. Verse 35 says, and Jesus heard that they put him out. Jesus is paying attention to what takes place to this man. Jesus is listening. And Jesus heard that they excommunicated him, that they cursed him, that they isolated him, that they shamed him, and they put him out. And the next words are powerful. And he found him. Isn't it amazing that Jesus took off after this? Who is this man to Jesus? That Jesus went in search mode to find this man, to have a conversation of grace and love and compassion to this man. Isn't it amazing, folks, that Jesus found us? Isn't it amazing in the darkest times? Isn't it amazing in our worst times? Isn't it amazing when we feel we are excommunicated? Isn't it amazing that when we feel that we're the only one on the planet? Isn't it amazing when we feel like we're isolated and Jesus knows exactly what's taking place in our lives? He knows the exact condition of our heart. And Jesus came and he found this man. And you could imagine what took place when Jesus is approaching this man, and this man can see, and he sees one man after being excommunicated, one man coming to his side, one man beginning to approach him when everyone knew he's isolated. You were to have no contact with man. You were not to associate with this one. And then Jesus is starting to walk towards him. And you could imagine, what is this guy going to do? And then, Jesus' voice. And immediately he picks up. That's the one. That's the one who spit in the ground. That's the one who touched my eyes. That's the one who said he's the light of the world. That's Jesus based on his voice. And then Jesus says this. And Jesus said, do you believe in the Son of Man? Could you imagine those words ringing in this man who now has sight? Jesus is the light of the world. You're the only one that's coming back. You're the only one that wants to associate with me. And he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? Look at this amazing response. Who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him? And Jesus said to him, you have both seen him, and it is he who is talking with you. And look at the first response. He says, Lord, I believe. The Bible says that he worshiped him. He worshiped him. He showed reverence to him. He honored him. He adored him. Could you imagine the whole crowd watching this thing? Imagine you see him. The word worship, it means to bow down, to show reverence. Well, he's the only one, folks, who gets before Jesus because Jesus found him. You are the light to the world. You are my spiritual light and you are my physical light. And I see. Could you imagine the eyes of his heart have been enlightened? And now he worships the very one who opened his eyes, both eyes, the eyes physically and a spiritual eyes to recognize that this is the Messiah. This is the King. This is the Lord. This is the Savior of the world. And I worship him. Folks, you got to see this. Exodus 20. It'll be up on the screen. Exodus 20 says this. This is the commandments. I want you to see this. Maybe you have not yet seen this before. Where God commands that we worship him only. When you recognize the authority and the power of God. When you and I understand who God is. You and I recognize what God has done in his authority, in his power, that we recognize his great attributes, that we would worship him, that we would honor him. And God makes it very clear, I am to be your priority. Have nothing before me. I am God, and I want you to myself. That's what God says in the Ten Commandments. It's powerful when you recognize that God says, I want you all about me, and I want you all to myself. I don't want you to wander to other idols. I don't want you to wander to other religion. I don't want you to wander in sin. I want you all to myself. You know what the biblical word for that is? Jealousy. And God says this, verse 4, it's upon the screen. You shall not make for yourself idols. You shall not make for yourself idols. And look at this, verse 5. And you shall not worship them. Listen, anything that you have in your life that God is not the priority, folks, that is considered to be an idol. And God wants all your attention on him. And this is what he says. This is amazing. You shall not worship them or serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. I am jealous for you. When you understand this and you dig into this, this is about worship. God says, I don't want your attention anywhere else. I want your attention on me. I want you to worship me. Listen, God knows our junk. He knows our hurts. He knows our pains. He knows everything that we think, say, and do. He knows what we've thought. He knows what we've said. He knows what we've done this. And God still says, I want you. I want you. I am jealous for you. I don't want anything in your life that's above me. I don't want anything where your attention is taken away from me because I'm a jealous God and I love you with such a fierce jealousy that I want you all to myself. That is an amazing picture of a perfect, holy, righteous God where his jealousy is a perfect, holy, righteous jealousy for you and for me. And gang, that It's incredible when you recognize that we have a God who is so in love with us and so desires us and so wants us that even in the absolute full knowledge of our lives and all of our sin, He still wants you, and He's jealous for me and He's jealous for you, that we put all of our worship and all of our attention to honor Him and to reverence Him and to adore Him. Gang, that's an awesome God. Give Him praise this morning. Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Man, when you get that He is jealous for you, life changes. Your life changes in this, gang. When you recognize what it is to worship and to show reverence to God. Psalm 29, it says ascribe. That word ascribe, it means give. Give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord the glory that's due His name. Worship Him in the Holy of Holies, or worship Him. Come before Him to acknowledge Him. Come before Him to honor Him. Come before Him to adore Him. Come before Him to show your reverence to God. Look what it, listen to this. Give to the Lord glory. That word glory means honor and strength. Give to the Lord honor. Give to the Lord honor. When's the last time you gave honor to God, that you worshiped Him? Listen, ascribe to the Lord the glory that is due His name. When you have something due you, you deserve it. It's owed to you. Gang, please hear this. If we don't give God what's due Him, we're robbing God of worship. God deserves to be worshiped. He tells us in Psalm 29 that it's due Him. Worship Him in the Holy of Holies. Worship Him in His presence. And when God says, listen, don't rob me of my worship. Don't rob me. What's due my name. And gang, this isn't something that God is pulling strings to get us to worship Him. God has so declared how great He is. God has so made very known His power and His authority. Listen, day one, in absolute darkness, one word, light, boom, pierced through the darkness. I mean, that alone is like, wow, are you kidding me? That is, yes, I will worship You. And then the heavens and the earth. And then, listen, the vegetation. Then the sun, the moon, and the stars. And then the things that swim, the things that fly. And then He creates the beast, and He creates mankind. Could you imagine in 6 days, all power, all authority, all-knowing God creates the universe in 6 days? Gang, that is mind-blowing. That is amazing when you begin to understand that this God who doesn't need us, this God who desires a relationship with us, this God who wants us would send His own Son to reconcile us to Himself, that He, in that reconciliation, cost Him His own Son. What a powerful, amazing, loving God when we have an understanding of who He is and what He's done for us. An understanding that Jesus put Himself willingly on a cross to pay the price for you. And gang, how do we not have a desire to honor Him and to worship Him and to reverence Him and to adore Him for who He is and what He's done? And He said, it is to me when you know me, folks. When you know God, worship is not a difficult deal. When you know God, Psalm 96. And you people get me all fired up. That's what you do. Wow. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless His name. Isn't it amazing that when we sing in our time of praise and thanksgiving, that it blesses Him? Isn't it amazing that when we come to worship Him and honor Him and to show our reverence to Him, that it blesses Him? Proclaim good tidings of His salvation from day to day. Tell of His glory among the nations, His wonderful deeds among all the peoples. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Gang, do you see God in this? Do you see God in your life? Do you recognize the authority and power of God? Great is the Lord, greatly to be praised, to be honored, to be thanked, to be adored. Great is the Lord to be in a place of exaltation. Great is the Lord to be the only one that's in the spotlight in our lives. Gang, this is what this is talking about. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord, or give to the Lord the glory and strength. Give to the Lord the glory of His name. Bring an offering and come to His courts and worship. Folks, we come to this place as a church, a local church, that we meet week after week in order that we may show reverence to the Lord, that we may show honor to Him, because we get Psalm 96. We get that He made the heavens. We get that He is splendid and majestic. We get that He has strength and beauty. And we get that He is glorious and strong. And we get that we are to come before His presence and to acknowledge how great He is, and to acknowledge and worship Him. And that we would not rob God of the worship that's due Him. Just bow your heads for a minute, please. Folks, when's the last time in your own personal time that you legitimately got on your face, knees, and just said, God, I worship You. God, I humbly come before You that You are God and You are the one and only true God. God, I recognize how excellent You are, and I recognize Your authority, and I recognize Your power. God, I recognize that You are jealous for me and that You want me, and I recognize that in that You sent Your Son to die on a cross for me, and in that, God, I will just lift up my heart to You and lift up my hands to You, and I will worship You, and I will worship You, and God, I will show reverence to You, and God, I will honor You in everything I do, and I will worship You. I will not put my attention elsewhere, God. I put my attention upon You because You are jealous for me. Folks, when's the last time you sincerely got before the Lord in worship? Man, I encourage you this week, get on your face before the Lord in your quiet time, day after day after day. And you will begin to see a change in your day. And you will begin to see a change in your week. And you'll begin to see a change in your marriage. And you'll begin to see a change in your home. You'll begin to see a change in your workplace. When you get on your face and say, God, this day is Yours, and I worship You, and I will honor You, and I will represent You today, and I will show reverence to You. God, today is Yours. In Your power and in Your authority, I will be reminded again of Your splendid, majestic power, that You reign, and in that You are have all authority and all dominion belongs to You. And God, I worship You. And you begin to put in your mindset just how great God is. See, when you come before God and you acknowledge how great He is, you acknowledge and you worship God as the great I Am, and you worship God as who He really is, and you show reverence to Him, man, the struggles of that day seem nonchalant compared to your worship of just who awesome, powerful God really is. It will change your day. Folks, have you robbed God of worship? Have you looked at this word worship and said, I don't really know what it means, so therefore I won't? Well, this morning you've had a very clear picture. When you understand God, you worship God. And He is to be the priority in your life. That He loves you and He wants you and He desires relationship with you. And the Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The Bible says because of our sin, man, the wages of that is death. Eternal separation from the presence of God. That's what death means. To be eternally separate from the presence of God. And then Jesus said, I'm the light to the world. I will take that darkness and I will shed light on that. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody gets to the Father except through Me. Folks, Jesus came in the greatest rescue mission of all time to put Himself on a cross so that we could be in relationship with Him, that we would acknowledge our sin, and that we would be dead to our sin and alive to Christ, that we will not be the same. I could imagine when they said, that's that beggar. I could imagine his heart saying, that's who I was. That's who I used to be. But Jesus enlightened me. Jesus opened my eyes. That's who I was, and that is not who I am today, because I see. Gang, no difference spiritually. When your eyes are open to the truth that God loves you and forgives you, Jesus put Himself on a cross and died for you. That is not who I was. But Jesus has taken the hit for me. Jesus has died in my place. Jesus has taken my sin, removed it as far as the east is from the west, buried it in the deepest part of the sea. And that is not who I am. Hallelujah. Folks, it's us coming to Christ knowing, Jesus, you died for me. I believe that you are the Christ, and I believe you died for me. I believe that you're the only way to salvation, and it's Christ, and it's Christ alone. You would enlighten the eyes of my heart that I might believe that it's you, Lord. And you cry out, God, forgive me of my sin. Father, forgive me of my sin. Jesus, thank you for dying for me. It is only by the blood of the sacrifice that was shed on that cross that has cleansed us white as snow. Come on, folks, let's end this thing in worship. Come on.